Hi everyone, and welcome back to another one of my podcasts. I was beginning to think I wouldn't be able to do this in time. What a dreadful month this has been. Around Christmas, I managed to pick up the virus that everybody else in London seems to have. It went to my voice and my sinus as it normally does, and somehow I managed to do all the gigs I was supposed to. I then had to go to Belgium and Holland to do some shows, which meant that the time when I normally do my income tax was put back. When I did get back, I found that there was something wrong with my computer so that I couldn't access the file that I needed. Meanwhile, I was still ill with the virus. It sort of went away, then it came back in different forms. I had conjunctivitis for a while, then it went away again. And this week, the worst of all, I woke up with a room spinning round. It had gone to my middle ear, and it's a horrible feeling. It almost makes you feel nauseous. Your whole balance is up the creek, and it's horrible. Anyway, it's all finally going. I did also finally file my income tax returns, only within a few days of the deadline, but I'm free, and I've got just a few days to do this podcast that I love to do for you. It's actually already the 26th of January. Anyway, let's get started. I've played one or two tracks before of the great, if tiny, tenor called Joseph Schmidt. One of the arias he liked to sing was called Ach, so fromm. It's normally sung by Italian tenors under the title Ma Pari, but it does actually come from a German opera called Martha, written by a composer called Flotow. It's probably his only hit song, as it were. It's best to hear it in the original language, I always thought, so this is one of two versions, at least, that Joseph Schmidt recorded. This is the early version recorded in Germany in 1929, when he would have been, 25 years old, one of his first recording sessions. I'm playing it for a reason, as you'll hear, but it's wonderfully sung. He obviously didn't know that he only had another 12 years to live, and that the Nazis would come to power, and he would end up dying in a camp in Switzerland. This would have been a much happier time for him during the Weimar Republic. Well, it's what we call dramatic irony. We know what happened next, but he didn't. So a happy young Joseph Schmidt singing Ach, so fromm in 1929. one of the great recordings of Joseph Schmidt. But why did I choose that particular aria? Well, first of all, I need to talk about Connie Boswell, one of the great jazz singers whom, again, I've played tracks of before. While America's still, to this day, a very racial society, this, of course, never affected musicians and singers. Connie, who was born in Kansas City but grew up in New Orleans with her sisters, was influenced by a black singer called Mamie Smith, one of the earliest black singers on record, but she in turn was the inspiration for a young lady called Ella Fitzgerald. Ella later said, "My mother brought home one of her records and I fell in love with it and tried so hard to sound just like her." So Connie Boswell, who sadly was a victim of polio and couldn't walk, but managed to perform with her sisters in the early 30s as just about the best close harmony jazz female group ever, called the Boswell Sisters. When they got married and decided to retire, she carried on and remained one of the great jazz singers till her death at the age of 69. So many people seem to die at 69. I'm glad I've passed that now. Well, in the 30s, there was a sort of fashion as swing got more sophisticated and before bebop came in to add another layer of difficulty and sophistication. As it got more sophisticated, one of the things they did was to do jazz versions of famous classical songs, operatic arias, and the rest. And one of the tunes they used was the one that I just played you. That was the way in which it was originally written. I'm now going to play you what Connie Boswell and her accompanying band did to it. This was recorded on the 13th of November 1937. I always remember that date because it was once the birthday of my father. He would have been 21 when this was recorded. That's a long time ago. They called this Martha on the label, which of course was the name of the opera, and the actual main title of the lyric is "Ah, so pure," which I suppose is a vague translation of "Ach, so fromm." But everything else apart from the actual tune has been changed, and this becomes a mid-tempo swinger. See what you think. I still prefer the original version. I like things the way they're written. But it was done very well, with great sophistication, and with one of the great jazz singers doing it. So, just, 8 years after that recording was made, here we are in the USA with Connie Boswell singing her version of this tune, "Ah, So Pure."
So pure, ah, so bright, burst her beauty on my sight. Oh, so mild, so divine, she beguiled this heart of mine. Reft of being as she came, dark the future seemed to loom, till her clear, brilliant sphere, new with light, dispelled the gloom. Whoa, she fled, quickly sped, all my joy in fleeting gleam. As I wake, hope forsake, robbing me of God-like dreams, of God-like dreams. Oh, ah, so pure, ah, so bright, burst her beauty on my sight. Oh, so mild, so divine, she beguiles all of mine. Forsaken, come and share thy boon with me. Share thy boon with me, yeah, with me. On my side, oh, so mild, so divine. She beguileth heart of mine. Martha, Martha, thou hast taken every bliss away with thee. Canst thou leave me thus forsaken? Come and share thy boon with me. Yeah, share thy boon with me. Yeah, with me.
Well, normally at this point I would do some searching and find some old music call or variety song, but I'm pressed for time, as I told you. So this time round we're going to have an all-vocal version of my podcast, but it's still going to have some variety. We're now going to Germany during the 30s. A lot of people associate Marlene Dietrich with that period, although in fact she got the hell out of Germany as soon as she could, and she was part of the left-wing Berlin cabaret scene. The person whom most Germans would have looked up to in the 30s as the sexy single singer was in fact from Sweden, and her name was Zara Leander. And it's rather unfair to think of her as that way, because she wasn't really a political person. She was just singing songs. Indeed, she once recorded an anti-Nazi song, and later on in 1938, the Yiddish song by Mir Bist Du Schön. So, although we think of her as being the archetypal Nazi favourite girl singer, it wasn't really true. When she went back to live, finally, in her own country, which was Sweden, as I say, the rest of her life she was a very controversial figure, as you can imagine, and she was obviously unable to enjoy any further fame. However, I'm going to play you a recording of her in 1934, right at the beginning of the Nazi regime, which she'd already been going for 3 or 4 years, so it wasn't as if she was chosen by Hitler or anything. And this is a typical song of the time. She had one of those deep voices that we associate, again, with Marlene Dietrich, although Marlene Dietrich at that time had a much higher voice. Her voice seemed to get lower later. Zara Leander had a lower voice. It's a nice voice, and this is the sort of music that was popular in Germany in the early 30s. It's called, if my German pronunciation will allow me to say this, Eine Frau von heute. I think that means a woman of today. This is recorded in 1934.
Schöne Frau, fordert ein Gebot, immer neu, immer allermord. Sieh dich an, schöne Frau, gut, sie macht dich schön, und speziell, wenn sie weiß, für wen. Eine Frau von heute sieht ein schönes Kleid, immer gerne an, doch grad so gerne zieht sie's aus. Denn das schönste Kleid zu gegebener Zeit wirkt es überflüssig oft und das sieht sie voraus. Ja, jede kluge Frau fühlt es ganz genau, noch ein schwacher Augenblick und dann ist es so weit. Und in dem Moment, den das Herz ihr nennt, kommt das allerschönste Kleid allmählich in Vergessenheit. Sieh dich aus, schöne Frau, heißt es abends spät, es ist Zeit, dass man schlafen geht. Sieh dich aus, schöne Frau, nachts bei Lampenschein, wann und wie, das weißt du allein. Nur die Frau von heute kennt ihr eigenes Kleid, drum zieht sie's am besten ohne fremde Hilfe Hilfe an. Sie allein weiß um das Mysterium. Schließt es von hinten oder schlüpft man nur hinaus? Ja, selbst der klügste Mann steht verzweifelt dann vor dem großen Rätsel, das ich nenn modernes Kleid. Ja, in dem Moment, den das Herz euch nennt, kommt das allerschönste Kleid allmählich in Vergessenheit.
Well, so much for German entertainment during the 30s. We in the UK are stupidly going to leave the EU next year. Goodness knows why, but we are, apparently, unless something's done to stop it. Well, we're still in it at the moment, so let's talk about the other major country at the heart of the EU, France, of course. Unlike the last artist, there was no doubt about the sympathies of this artist. Well, she was black to begin with, so she wasn't exactly going to be on the side of the Nazis, was she? Her name, of course, was Josephine Baker. Back in show number 14, I played one of her early recordings made in the late 20s. She had been in some of the black revues that were part of the Harlem Renaissance. And I know people who were in the same show as her, or I knew them, they're no longer with us. And I was told that Josephine Baker, who was just a few years younger than most of the chorus line, was regarded as being not quite as talented as the others, and certainly couldn't sing as well, etc., etc. Well, that's because she had incredible competition. The standard of black performers in the 20s in New York was fantastic. However, she had the bright idea of going to Paris. She looked very sexy and didn't care what she did. Even in the USA, she was known for going cross-eyed and doing all sorts of silly things to make herself noticed. Well, amongst the things she didn't mind doing was appearing naked. And as part of the Folie Bergère, she invented a dance known as the banana dance, because all she was wearing was a girdle made of bananas. Some of this actually is on YouTube. You can actually see a little clip of her as she was then. Well, naturally, this is Paris. It didn't have the same colour prejudice that the USA had, and it wasn't long before she came to superstardom there, rivaling the older superstar Miss Dinguette. Naturally, during the war, she helped the resistance, and she did everything to overthrow the Nazis. And after the war, I seem to remember that she started a home for orphaned children. Maybe wrong about that, but I'm fairly sure that I'm right. And she carried on, and like a previous person today, she died at the age of 69. Not a good age, 69. Well, the recording I'm going to play you is, I think, from the late 40s or early 50s. I don't really know, but just by the look of the graphics on the record label, it would seem to me to come from that period. Certainly, she's singing much better than she was in the 20s. For a start, she doesn't try and sing so high. She sings in a range which is much more comfortable for her. She's also much more fluent in French, and she just sounds at home. She sounds like a French cabaret act by then. So this is the somewhat older Josephine Baker. Probably, my guess is that she was about 40 when she made this record, and it's typical Josephine Baker at the height of her powers, just after the war, still very glamorous and sexy. And the name of this particular song is Minuit, Midnight, Josephine Baker.
C'est à minuit que tout paraît surnaturel. C'est à minuit que la douceur descend du ciel. C'est à minuit que l'ombre est pleine du mystère et que celui qui sait me plaire se glissera. La nuit claire
unserer Sommerpalais. Tout contre lui, pendant qu'au loin, le panorama minuit. Dans le jardin là-bas, je lis la tronche des bras au clair de lune. Le vent des grands bois semble venir vers moi, chercher ma lune. Je sens comme une fièvre, un mot monte à mes lèvres, cœur nu. C'est à minuit que je verrai grand amour dont j'ai rêvé passionnément depuis toujours. C'est à minuit que d'un sourire suisse et tendre, il saura si bien me comprendre que je ne pourrai me défendre. Près de moi, toute la nuit, l'amour viendra, entrera.
I'm afraid the condition of that record was a bit mushy, but I think you could hear her singing pretty well. Well, while we're doing a tour of the EU, another important country is, of course, Italy. And when I think of Italy, I think of Grand Opera. Now I'm going to play you a recording of a tenor who is long forgotten by the vast majority of people. And it's not that he sang in the way distant past. He sang mainly in the 30s and he sang on after the war as well. His name was Giovanni Malipiero. He was actually born in 1906 and he died in 1970. He didn't even make 69, he didn't even make 64. Tenors seem to die young, I don't know why. He was born in Padua and he made his debut in Rigoletto in 1930. Pretty young, only 24. But his fine voice got noticed pretty quickly and it wasn't long before he was singing at all the major opera houses in Rome, Venice, Verona, etc. Naples, Turin, Genoa, and he even travelled outside Italy to the famous small opera house in Monaco. The opera house that became his home, really, though, was the Teatro alla Scala in Milano. And he very soon got a reputation as being a wonderful singer of the early operas of Rossini, Donizetti and Bellini. Not that he couldn't sing Verdi or even French operas, but I think that's where his main fame lay, because there was something about his singing which reminded the experts of real bel canto singing. It's a wonderful, easy voice, no stress, no strain, it's wonderful. Were he around now, he would be such a superstar. I've often said this about these early singers, and this is true of him in the 30s. It may well be that he's one of the greatest tenors of the 1930s, and yet somehow strangely forgotten. Well, here he is singing Spirito Gentile, one of the famous arias from that pre-Verdi era, and it's just so easy. This is a recording in 1936, so he would have been literally 30 years old and just at the beginning of the golden period of his voice. Most tenors sound at their best between 30 and 40, I suggest. So here he is, Giovanni Malipiero. He did sing after the war. He didn't get as famous as perhaps he should have done, partly because of the political situation in the 30s. He living in a country run by Mussolini, remember? And after the war, although he did sing once or twice in places like South America, he gradually got less and less offers of work because there were new tenors that took over. And from the 50s, he began to play small character parts. He finally retired in 1962, which is a shame because he should have had a much bigger career. As you will hear in this wonderful recording. There is a complete opera of Lucia di Lammermoor that was recorded in 1939, but otherwise there aren't that many recordings of him. I'm very pleased I've got this one.
Favorita del re, qual nero abitto, qual mai trama infernale, la gloria mia avvolse in un istante, ed ogni seme tronca del core amare.
And we come to the last track. In my last show, I played a record of the great Cab Calloway, and I think I said that at some point I would play a recording of his elder sister. Why not today? Very interesting character, and it's strange that she's not better remembered. She was born in 1902, so was older than Cab, and she was very excited when she first heard the legendary Florence Mills, who sadly left us no recordings. She must have been something special, though. Like many black people of the time, and hers was a middle-class, you might say upper-class family, she began singing at the local church, but was then seduced away by the world of show business. She first went on stage in small sketches when she was only 19 years old, but she soon got a part in Ubi Blake and Noble Sissle's epoch-changing show Shuffle Along. A big break came in 1923 on the national tour for Plantation Days, which featured her idol Florence Mills, and the show carried on till 1927, where she ended up in Chicago. She thought she might as well stay there because that was the centre of jazz at that time. She used to perform at the Sunset, and Cab joined her, but she was the star, and she made, 10 times as much money as he did at the time. She also used to perform at Ciro's in New York, and getting noticed, she first got to record with Louis Armstrong, no less a figure than that, and later on with a sort of Louis Armstrong imitator called Reuben Reeves, a fine trumpet player. She led her own band called the Clouds of Joy. She sang with her brother's band, and then she also worked with Andy Kirk's orchestra. Her trademark song was the one I'm going to play you now. She wrote it herself, and it was called I Need Lovin', as you'll find out, and she really sells the song. She must have been fantastic on stage to see live. I love this track. Everybody who hears it does. Later on, she formed another big band with such luminaries as Ben Webster and Cozy Cole in it. She was actually quite a fine musician, but was given very few chances as a black woman of the time to do anything but singing and dancing. And sadly, as Cab Calloway's popularity grew, hers faded away during the 30s, and she found it more and more difficult to get engagements. By 1938, she was bankrupt and she had to break up her orchestra. She did form a sort of all-women orchestra in 1940, but that didn't last. And in her later years, she only got to sing occasionally, which is a great pity. She did manage a nightclub called the Crystal Caverns in her later years in Washington, D.C., and discovered a singer called Ruth Brown, but that's another story. Because of all the things she'd had to suffer, she became quite a leading light in the NAACP, fighting for black rights. So really, quite an interesting person. Then towards the end of her life, she converted to Christian Science, of all things. And sadly, it wasn't able to help her win her 12-year battle with cancer, because that's how she died in the end, dying of breast cancer at the age of 76. A sort of sad story, really, but the records that she leaves us are wonderful. And this is, of course, her definitive track, I Need Lovin', Blanche Calloway. Thank you.
have been kissed. Come on, show me what I missed. I need some loving. Do you think I'm made of wood? Too darn lonesome when you're good. I gotta have some loving. I'm a rag, a bone, a hank of hair. Die before I get it, baby, I don't care. I need some loving. Oh, boys, that's so bad. Can't stand.
Blanche Calloway, and I think you can hear from that performance where Cab Calloway got his general style. She must have been something live. Well, now we come to the part where I do my track. Before I do that, I just want to say that this is a secret of my podcast. I normally do this in bits, so I'll search around, find a good track, chat about it, record that, cut out the ums and ahs, and then add on the track, and I say that as one part of the podcast, and then maybe the next couple of days I do another one, until I've got all six done, and then I do my last track, and then put it up. However, as I said at the beginning, it's been such a hurry, this one. I've done the whole thing in about 2 days, and I'm already at the point where I've got to add my track, which I will now do. Before I do that, as always, I want to mention the fact I've still got lots and lots of 78s for sale, although two people did come forward and buy a few each. So that's the beginning, but there's so many more to sell. I will be changing the website on which they're listed, but you can still get a list from me by emailing spats47@ntlworld.com, and I'll be happy to send it to you. Otherwise, as you know, please share this site with as many people as you can, because, you know, this music's fantastic and so many people don't know about it. Hopefully, those of you who do listen, there's only about 100 and 120 of you, hopefully you're all enjoying it, but there could be thousands out there enjoying this stuff. It's not as if it's going to cost them anything, after all. And if for no other reason, do it as a birthday present to me, because this podcast will go up on the 1st of February, by which time, unbelievably, I will be 71, past that dangerous 69 quite clearly now. And that's on the 31st of January. I may have mentioned before that I was born precisely 150 years to the day after another songwriter who also wore glasses called Franz Schubert. Well, as you know, I always end up with one of my own tracks just to prove I know something about music. I recently finished a new CD which will be called Songs from Another Shed, my last one being called Songs from a Garden Shed. And why that name, in case you don't know, well, I thought the Beatles named their LP after their recording studio, Abbey Road, so I would name my CDs after mine, and it happens to be a sort of garden shed because everything's digital now. This is a track I haven't given you from my last CD, apparently. It's a sort of Rat Pack type swing song called Underneath It All, and I hope that you'll enjoy it. And until the next time, when hopefully I'll have a bit more time to put everything together, I wish you, as always, all the best and au revoir.
Ever since we met, every chance you get, you do all you can to make sparks fly. But I'm not upset. Nothing's over yet. Till I tell you something that you can't deny. Underneath your shell that I know so well, underneath the smile not in your eyes, underneath the words you love to hurt with and dish the dirt with, it's all disguise. Underneath your schemes I see broken dreams, just as though they shone from high above. Can't you see there's no one understands you like I. can't you see that we fit hand in glove? Underneath it all, I'm finding love. Just as though they shone from high above. Can't you see there's no one understands you like I? Can't you see that we fit hand in glove? Underneath it all, I'm finding love.